Coming up next, are you using terrible career building strategies? We'll go through those. And then the global supply chain is really efficient. Why is it breaking down? And of course, we take your calls, and it all starts right now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and in life. Why are we focusing on that combination? Because you were created to contribute in your relational world and in your professional world, and you can't separate the two. I can tell you this, if you're winning in your personal life, but work sucks, you're going to drag that home. And the vice versa is also true. If you are winning in your work and life falling apart in the personal side of things, well, you're going to drag that to work with you. So we want to help you win. There are seven stages to discovering and doing work that you were created to do, where the income is where you want it to be and the impact is there as well. So we're going to walk you through those stages. Now, I forgot to mention at the top of the show. I don't know why. I was so excited to get started. Also in the show today, joining me towards the back half, and for you folks that are viewing on YouTube, we have a bonus session with you. My good friend and New York Times bestselling author Pat Lencioni, leadership guru, joins me in studio. We're going to talk about horrible bosses and horrible leadership and break that down a bit. So that is going to be a lot of fun. But let's get started with our teaching today. There are good strategies that help you win in your career and build and grow. And then there are strategies that essentially are just horrible practices that people adopt as strategies. So I want to break those down. So here we go. Strategy number one, that is an awful, awful strategy. Sucking up. I think of Andy Bernard on The Office. I mean, you know, Dwight was a suck up as well. But Dwight was so weird that we just kind of can categorize Dwight Schrute in his own category. But Andy Bernard is the world's greatest suck up. I mean, it's nauseating. I mean, it was a laugh out loud character. Don't be the Andy Bernard. Here's why this doesn't work. It actually hurts you, not just with your leader who may put up with some of it because they like it, but eventually it becomes suffocating and obnoxious. And it really hurts you with your coworkers. It's not going to help you move up. In fact, it's going to brand you in a negative way, and I think it puts you in a box that can be very difficult to climb out of. Here's what you should do. Instead of the butt kissing, the sucking up, how about shout outs? Like recognizing your leader, recognizing coworkers for something they did that is obviously a win, and just acknowledge them. Everybody wants to be seen. Everybody wants to be recognized. That's not sucking up. That's just going, hey, well done. Good job. Strategy number two that's a horrible strategy is saying yes to everything because you're afraid to disappoint anybody. It's the yes man, all right, or yes woman. It's just doesn't matter what they ask. Doesn't matter if you think you can do it. Doesn't matter if you don't have the time to do it. You just say yes because you don't want to disappoint them in the moment. And as a result, you will load yourself down. You will set yourself up. Here's why this doesn't work. Burnout. Overtime. Carrying more mental stress and emotional baggage than you should have to carry because you overcommitted. How about the fact that at some point you get too many plates that you're trying to spin, and that means they're going to fall. They're going to break. And the very thing that you were worried about doing, disappointing someone, you actually do. So in a desire not to disappoint, you actually go further in disappointing them. I would much rather tell somebody, hey, I can't do that, and live with whatever disappointment I think I've created, which, by the way, they're not disappointed. You think they are. You think they think things about you that they probably never even entertain. But the reality is that your fear of disappointing someone becomes a reality, and that you said you could do it. They have taken you at your word and you haven't met their expectation. Now we're talking about legitimate disappointment. which, by the way, is all on you because you overcommitted. So burnout and broken commitments, that is a massive trap for keeping yourself stuck on the career ladder. Now, here's what you should do. Only say yes to the right things. If saying yes to the right thing means that you've got to say no to something else, do it. Even if it requires change that you're uncomfortable with, say yes to the right things. That's how we move up. We're saying yes to things that we can do, should do, want to do. And that means we may have to make some other changes in order to be able to add that to our list of responsibilities. But that's how you win. All right, here's the third strategy that I see everywhere. And it's awful. And that's overworking, working overtime. This is probably the strategy that is most used and abused. Because we think, I'm going to outwork everybody else. And somewhere we've seen that on a motivational poster. We've heard that in a movie. And we go, okay, that means I'm going to fry myself and I'm going to work way too many hours just to get noticed, just to get ahead. Here's why that doesn't work. There's studies, multiple studies that show that peak performance hours are usually in the morning. And after that, your productivity diminishes significantly. So while you may increase the rate of hours you work, you are not increasing your productivity. And after all, the very point of working more is to try to get more done. But if you're spending more time, but watching your productivity drop, well, then this is silliness. You are effectively in your own hamster wheel. And here's the reality. Just want to mention a little caveat for a second. A lot of people are working more than they should work. Not because they're actually trying to get ahead or impress anybody. It's because they don't want to go home and deal with the crap that they've created at home or crap that's been thrown at them. And so we become workaholics and we try to put honor on the fact that we're trying to escape something else in our personal life. So here's what works. Instead of working overtime and overworking yourself, even the work that you love needs a break. Make time for recreating yourself. Recreation is a fancy way of saying to recreate. And so when you play, your brain recovers. When you play, your heart recovers. When you play, you're better. So whatever play looks like for you, take breaks. Don't do too much. Everybody needs a break. Also, instead of just recreating all the time and fun, dive deep into relationships. You will get so much energy from time invested with people that you love and value and respect. And then make sure you just get old-fashioned rest. Doesn't have to be a nap, but just resting. Just resting. Even if it's resting the brain. It works. So stop sucking up. Stop saying yes to everything. Stop overworking. It's not going to get you ahead. In fact, it's going to be negative. All right. Job tip of the day coming up. My good friend, bestselling author Pat Lencioni joins us coming up. And of course, your calls coming up. Folks, that's a whole lot of goodness. Don't you dare move. Back in about 30 seconds. My friends at Bethel School of Technology have received the Best Value College Alternative Award by University Research and Review. They're one of only 15 institutions to receive this award because their online technology boot camp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training and highest chances of post-school employment. And it's a fraction of the cost and a fraction of the time. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman and get an offer of $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition. That's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Hey, folks, I'm seeing more and more numbers. I'm getting media requests. Ken, you got to talk about all these people switching jobs. It's not going to change anytime soon. And I tell you what, the last 2 years, people really took wholesale assessment of where they are in their personal lives and professional lives. And I think 2022 is going to be more of the same. Demand, supply, demand. We'll get to that a little bit later in our In the News segment. But let's talk about supply and demand for talent. Now is the hottest time. So look, I want to make sure you're making the right move to the right job in the right environment. And so you need to be working with my friends at ZipRecruiter, number one hiring site in the United States. Let me tell you something. They can help you make this job search a lot easier. They send you the right jobs that connect to your profile and what you're desiring. Many times they let you know about jobs that you would never even find on your own, and they are a great service to work with, and it doesn't cost you a dime. It's free. So go to ZipRecruiter.com today. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. That's where you go, and they're going to take great care of you. Go right now, ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. 844-747-2577 is the number. I am your counselor, coach, and cheerleader, all in one call. Let's go to the phones, Kansas City, Missouri. Caleb is there. Caleb, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. How are you doing today?
I'm living the dream, Caleb. What's going on?
Oh, not too much. So I wanted to call in real quick, have kind of a life-changing career decision possibly ahead of me, and wanted to get your take on it, make sure I'm not making an emotional decision, but making one with my head, I guess.
Okay, great.
So my wife and I are on baby step two. We're about to be done with that. I work in the transportation industry on the maintenance side. Mm-hmm. I've also put myself through flight school, and mm-hmm. I have four of my five certifications required to eventually break out into a career as a pilot. Mm-hmm. I've got an opportunity to go to work for a local company that would be a direct step into the industry, wouldn't be into a flying position, but it would be something where I could work my way into that. I'll be teaching here shortly to build my experience, and then once I do that, I could transfer over into the flying side of things. My question is, I've recently new to you, but I want to make sure that this is a decision that I'm making for the right reasons. I'm looking at about a $30,000 pay cut to do this, and I have seen the culture at my current company has changed, and I want to make sure that I'm not making an emotional decision. I'm taking all the points that I can before I would actually give this company an answer.
Okay, great. So let's take all the emotion out of it and see how this feels to you. Okay. Forget what's going on with your current company. Okay. Forget all of it. Let's just assume everything's going great. There's no frustration there, and it's a good day job that keeps you stable until it's time to become a pilot. Okay, because you got four out of the five qualifications necessary, all right?
Correct.
So how long before you get the fifth qualification and you can actually be hired to be a pilot?
I'm hoping by June of this year is the goal that I've set.
Okay, wow. June of this year, okay.
Yes, yes.
Is this job opportunity local where you would be, I guess, teaching aviation, teaching other prospective pilots? Is this the best path to getting in the air?
This would be, so I would teach actually as a second job. This would be a job that would provide benefits and kind of keep the income stable while I'm teaching.
Okay, I didn't catch that. Did I miss that detail?
I think I left that out. Yeah, that's my fault.
Okay, yep. Great. No, I just want to make sure I'm listening here and paying good attention. So the job that you would be taking is just a day job, has nothing to do with teaching aviation.
Correct. Correct.
And
but it's a company that's directly involved in aviation.
Okay, but here's my point. Taking that job and a $30,000 pay cut, okay, is that the best way to get you in the air? Is it the absolute, if you look at all of your options, come June, your goal is to be fully qualified. If you take this job with a $30,000 pay cut, is that the best option that come June when you're qualified to get you in the air?
Okay. Okay.
It's a yes or no. It's a yes or no answer. Is it the best option?
I would say from my current standpoint, probably yes.
Okay. So then you have to weigh it. If that's your best option, what's the second best option? And does that require you to take a $30,000 pay cut?
No. No, I think my second best option would be to stay where I'm at and continue to teach on the side in my current position or my current company.
Yeah, and how much are you going to make doing the teaching on the side?
$25 an hour.
Okay, so really, with that addition, you wouldn't be taking a $30,000. You would be take. I understand what you mean, but I mean, how much less money would you be making now, adding in the teaching revenue? Even if you take,
I could probably half the pay cut.
So 15, you would make $15,000 less for how long?
It would be about a year to a year and a half time.
Okay, and so you think going to work for this local company at a $15,000 hit is going to get you in the air faster?
I think so. Yeah.
Are they an aviation company?
They are. They are. They deal directly with the rental and the maintenance of jet aircraft. And
you think is it a 2 or 3 year difference if you stay where you are and teach on the side? What's your best guess on how much longer it would take you to get in the air versus taking this hit?
I think it would probably shorten it by 6 months to a year, mainly because the schedule at the new company would be a different setup, and it would allow me to work more than just on the weekends as a teacher.
So really, you're only taking a $15,000 hit, amortized, that's a fancy word, meaning we spread out the $15,000 over 12 months, and you're thinking the most it would take. The point is, it's 6 to 12 months faster to get the job if you take the pay cut.
Yeah, I would say that's probably accurate.
Can you absorb the hit? $15,000?
Yeah.
Is it going to put you guys behind the eight ball, or are you going to be in good shape?
I think it's going to make it close with getting out of baby step two for a couple of months. But I think it will work. We're still in the black after our living expenses.
All right, I need to explain to my non-Ramsey show, people that are new to the show, what's he talking about, baby step two? Well, with Ramsey Solutions and the Ramsey Show, Dave Ramsey, 7 baby steps that get you out of debt so that you can live financially free. And baby step two is paying off all of their debt. So they're about ready to be debt free. And then they would move into baby step three, which is putting together a 3 to 6 month emergency fund. Okay, to me, this is it's not a no-brainer. Because I think you're only saving yourself 6 to 12 months. Meaning, if you don't take a financial hit, by your own estimation, you might have to wait an extra 6 months or a year. It depends on how you want to come at this. So to me, it's not a no-brainer, but I also don't think it's a bad decision. I don't think you're being emotional. I think you're like, I want to get after it, and I'm willing to sacrifice a little bit. So if you guys can make this move and absorb the $15,000 hit to the point that you guys aren't scraping, you're not desperate, and it's not any different than how tight you were paying off your debt, then I say do it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate your insight.
Yeah, man. I'm excited for you. Really, really, really proud of you. And I love the willingness to sacrifice, which I'm going to tell you something. Anytime you make a decision like this, folks, to make a real change, there is going to be sacrifice. Anytime you decide to live and work on purpose, there's going to be a sacrifice. Okay, you know, let's be honest. We got a bunch of people that are in gyms all across America right now. And they're like, oh man, I'm so sore. This is awful. Well, we'll see if they stay with it in March. But the reality is there's a bunch of people that every year decide to make some physical sacrifices, right? Because what they're doing is, I'm not going to eat the junk food. I'm going to eat less calories, and I'm going to punish my body. So, I mean, you pick the area of life. If you want to make progress, you want to be on purpose, let's not forget, there's always going to be sacrifice. So I'm all good with sacrifices. I just want a plan. We don't want the sacrifice to take us backwards. We want it to help us win. Don't move. More of the show coming right up. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win at work and at life. Hey, make sure you're following me on Instagram at Ken Coleman. On Facebook, search the Ken Coleman Show. Ken Coleman on LinkedIn, Twitter, Ken Coleman. What am I leaving out there? I think I got everything there. A lot of great free content for those of you who are looking for that daily encouragement. We're posting every day on our social media accounts. KenColeman.com is the website with a lot of free resources. And don't forget, for those of you that are trying to figure out what's the path, or I know the path, but I'm not quite sure how to navigate it. I wrote a best-selling book, released it in November, From Paycheck to Purpose. You can get it at KenColeman.com. You can also bundle it with our Get Clear Career Assessment, which if you look at the seven stages that we teach to walk you through a life of, to where you're doing work with meaning and making plenty of money, the assessment is stage one, Get Clear. It can help so many of you get that purpose statement and begin to see, how do I translate that into the world at work? Because it creates a job description for you, essentially, is what's going on. So check that out. You can bundle those or buy them separately in the store at KenColeman.com. All right. I'm going to switch it up a little bit, Joe. I want to start with, we've been doing this all in the month of January, answering questions, giving you little nuggets, because January is a big starting month, people getting hired all the time. And so we're giving you a job tip of the day. All right. So May writes it on Facebook. Ken, I know we need connections to the inside to land a job, but what about LinkedIn? Do I need it? LinkedIn is very helpful. I think it's wonderful for information that will lead to true connection. Here's my point. Love the folks at LinkedIn. I think they give you a lot of opportunity to dig, and find connections. But I am not a fan of just staying within the LinkedIn universe, if you will. Meaning, I don't want you sending 60 messages a day on LinkedIn. Can I connect with you? Can I connect with you? What I'd rather you do is you get that information. You know where they work. Start thinking about, who do I know that might know them? And so I want you to reach out that way. So I like to say that LinkedIn is great for information, not necessarily great to make the connection. I want you in real world connecting with real people. And I think that's the best way to go about it. So wonderful, wonderful to help you get started making those connections. Thank you, May, for the question. There's your job tip of the day. All right. I've been sharing information on the show recently about the need for more truck drivers. There's a need for somewhere between 70 to 80,000 truck drivers because of the unbelievable demand on the supply chain. And I don't know if you're like me, you see that we have a problem getting in wings. I went to Buffalo Wild Wings the other night with my boys to watch some football, and they told me half the menu wasn't available. I said, wow, what's the deal? And they're like, can't get the wings in. You know, we're seeing all these grocery store shelves, and this is not the hoarding that's going on like Joe did when the pandemic came out. Joe got all the toilet paper in Columbia, Tennessee. I mean, they had to send out the National Guard to negotiate with him. He had a whole shed in the back with toilet paper. This is not that. We've got real supply chain issues. Let's break it down today in the news. By the way, I should point out, Joe did not hoard toilet paper. That is one of those fake news items that I just share to entertain the team behind the glass. He did not hoard it. He had a proper amount of toilet paper.
I even shared it with you.
Well, now the true story is that I am the last person to think about toilet paper shortage. And so we actually had a toilet paper shortage in Middle Tennessee, just like everybody else did. And I remember Joe going, well, I stocked up a little bit. I saw it coming because Joe is very prepared. And so I paid Joe cash one day. Guy brought in toilet paper to the office so that the Coleman family could make it through to the next shipment at Kroger. That really happened. All right. So here we go. Headline, NPR, the global supply chain is amazingly efficient. Why did it break down? So what's interesting is that, if you think about supply chain, and this article breaks this down, Christopher Mims is a Wall Street Journal columnist. He was like, if you think about the supply chain journey, we're talking about a journey of thousands of miles because transporting cod from one locale across the country is so much cheaper than paying domestic workers to prepare the cod. So like we Americans ship in fish from all around the globe is one example. And it's very efficient. If you think about following a hypothetical USB charger from a factory in Vietnam all the way to its delivery in Connecticut, the journey, we're talking about 14,000 miles, 12 time zones, and involves a complex network of barges, shipping containers, trucks, warehouses, robots, and workers. Mims goes on to say that the modern container ship is the most efficient way we've ever invented to move goods. And yet, obviously, disruptions can happen. So this is the first time I've seen a comment on this. I think it's interesting. Mims goes on to say, basically, Americans went on a shopping spree as soon as the lockdown started. And we haven't really stopped. We're ordering so much stuff and have transferred so much of our spending from services like hospitality, vacations, and eating out to actual goods that it jammed up the network of the global supply chain. It is an overheated demand. And you know what? I'm sharing that with you folks because that was a real light bulb for me. If you think about it, we Americans are a people that are on the move, out and about. So when things slowed down, we weren't going out. And then we realized that we already were buying off of Amazon and other online retailers anyway, but now our habits kicked into high gear. And so the amount of money that we were spending on getting out, we were now going, well, I'm just going to go to this website. And we were just ordering stuff. And I think the ease at which we can get stuff has just increased that. And here's the deal. Can't keep up. I literally got a picture from a friend of mine who was in California a week ago, Alex. And he showed me a picture of the Long Beach Harbor. And it was ships as far as the eye could see that are sitting out in the ocean waiting for a chance to come into the dock. Kind of like if you arrive early on an airplane and somebody's at your gate and you're sitting on the kind of out there on the runway waiting to get in. Same kind of deal. So it's crazy. And not to mention, we've had a lot of truck drivers that, you know, kind of moved on to other things too. And then you've got the more demand for trucks. Once you get at the dock, we got to have more trucks, which means you got to have more truck drivers. So, you know, pretty fascinating stuff when you think about it. So you want to know, why are things slowing down? Why can't I get my stuff? Well, there's why. Now, here's the little silver lining on all this. Okay. And this is a complex geopolitical issue that I'm not going to try to break down. However, one of the solves for this is we've got to get to a point as Americans where we go, we've got to create real tax incentives for American companies and stop making them to be the bad guys when corporations or small businesses want tax breaks, and realize that if we give them those tax breaks and allow them to use goods manufactured in the United States, not only is that going to help create American jobs for Americans, but it's also going to allow you to get your stuff faster. Like, I just don't think that we, the people, think about stuff like that. And I'm just going to give it to you. It's not a political show, but this is a political issue. But if we, the American people, called up Congress and told those boneheads, hey, why don't we make it financially not just viable, but why don't we create an incentive for American companies not to get goods from around the globe? What if we had American-made products that we could ship to the rest of the world, but American-made products for Americans? Why? More jobs, better wages. Oh, by the way, you're not waiting on a ship to dock. Think about it. By the way, this will make you, if for you savers and you efficient people, go do go. Google search on how much stuff gets left in containers. It never even makes it to the end user. It's unbelievable. Blow your mind. So there's a case for American jobs that are a result of American goods. I think that's what we need more of. All right. Coming up, more of the show. And don't forget, my friend Pat Lencioni joins me soon. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. We're helping you win at work and in life. Coming up next segment, multi-New York Times bestselling author and my pal, Pat Lencioni, coming in. We're going to talk about horrible bosses. And by the way, fun bonus segment. Now, you folks listening on radio and SiriusXM, you're going to miss this. This is why you need to be on YouTube. Okay? But here's the deal. We have a fun segment, bonus segment, just for you YouTube folks. And that's coming up in about 16 minutes or so. And I'm going to play a video for Pat. And we're going to real-time comment on this because I'm talking about one of the biggest, boneheaded, horrible boss things we've ever seen. A CEO of a public company literally boneheading on a video. And boy, we're going to break this down because big problem with what's going on in America's workplaces is horrible leadership. It's a problem. But first, to the phones. Let's go to Lindsay, California. David joins us there. David, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, good morning, Ken. How are you?
David, I'm living the dream. What's up?
Well, I just was wanting to see if I could get some advice from you. Recently fired from my job after over 16 years.
Oh, man, I'm sorry about that.
Just wanted to see, you know, when you're filling out applications, one of the questions on there is, you know, reason for leaving your previous job.
Yeah.
And
why were you let go?
I didn't fill out an incident report in what they felt was a timely manner. So
is that the first time that had ever happened?
It was.
Do you feel like that was harsh and out of nowhere?
I do. Yeah.
Do you have a good, healthy HR file? Everything kind of rosy, no major issues up until this point?
Had never been written up or any kind of issues with my performance. So,
and you did you have any personality conflicts with your leader?
No.
So if you and I met on the street today and I said, what's going on? You go, well, I just got fired. And I dug into it. What would you say to a complete stranger about why you were fired? What's your emotion around it?
Yeah, I was pretty shocked. And, you know, California is an at-will state.
Yeah.
So
why didn't you fill it out on time?
It was kind of a weird circumstance. It was through the person that had been injured had left for the day. And it was via text message several hours later after they left. So, about the incident. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so here's the deal. The reason I'm digging into all of this is because, you know, there's no rule of thumb on this. Like, what do you talk about when you were let go? I always, though, am going to lean towards, I'm not going to give them all the nitty gritty details, but in this situation, I think you got to kind of own it. Feels like you got fired because you didn't fill out a TPS report.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yes.
And so the only information that you've given me, I have nothing else to pull from. So if there was no personality conflict, you've never been written up before, they just fired you, I think you take the high road and go, well, here's exactly what happened. If they ask you, now I'm going to address that in a second about why it shouldn't really come to this. But if it comes up, I want you to just go, here's exactly what happened. 16 years, never one time written up. We had a situation, this is exactly what happened. I got texted about it after hours. To be honest with you, I wanted to go home and watch something with my kids on Netflix. I didn't fill out the report, got distracted, whatever. Just tell the truth and just kind of own it.
Right.
And what we do there is we take the elephant out of the room. Let's take the elephant out of the room.
You have nothing to hide, right?
You have nothing to hide. So let's not act as though you do and let them go. You kind of want them to do what I just did, which is you got fired because you didn't fill out a TPS report. That's just, can I just tell you something? That's jackassery leadership. It's terrible. Like, really? So here's the deal.
Yeah.
Now, here's why it really shouldn't matter. You've got 16 years plus of experience. You got plenty of talent. You got a lot of connections. Is that a true statement?
That's true.
All right, then. So we control the narrative. So you're going to go look for something that you've got a direct human connection to, and they're going, let me tell you about my friend David. David's a freaking rock star. You need to hire David. So when you get in there, the impression is already strong, and now you can focus on why you're an asset. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. Mega best-selling author, leadership guru, and all-around great guy, Pat Lencioni joins me live next. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. We help you win at work and in life because they're inextricably connected. If you're losing in your life, in your relationships, and personal life, you're going to drag that to the office. And the same is true if you're not winning at work and it's just not good. You're dragging that crap home with you too. And so we're going to talk about horrible leaders, horrible bosses, because some of you just need to leave your leader because they, well, they just don't have what it takes. You know it, and I know it. So really excited to have a guy who really understands leadership, what great leadership is about, why leadership doesn't work. He's done a lot to help American corporations win, and he knows a lot about it. He is multi-best-selling author Pat Lencioni. He joins me here in studio. Pat, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
I'm from California, so it's nice to touch a person because we're not allowed to do that anymore.
Well, we had to spray everything down. He's got an unbelievable rider about how clean it had to be. No, I just, it's good to have you in the land of the free.
It is great to be here. Great to be here. Truly.
Yeah, it really is.
It's a party.
Have you decided to move here yet?
I bought a house yesterday.
You're joking with me, or is this breaking
news? No, I did. I just was just talking to Dave about it.
Is he messing with me, guys?
Brentwood, Tennessee.
This has changed everything.
Off of Concord Avenue, yeah.
Yeah, I know where that is.
Yeah.
Now, this is a game changer.
Oh, it's huge. It was so funny. I had dinner with a friend last night, and said to my wife, gee, I wanted to talk to you about that. This must be hard, you guys thinking about moving. And she was like, no, I'm the one forcing the issue. She's like, I went out.
100%.
So we don't know exactly the timing, but we are excited.
Man. We're going to be neighbors.
Hey, really?
Sort of.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's... Everybody's a neighbor in Tennessee.
It's not far. We can get to people pretty quickly. Well, that's very exciting. Okay, so here's the deal. A lot of people leaving. Unbelievable numbers. You know the numbers. We're talking about 18.6, 18.8 from August to November. We haven't even seen December numbers. We think the trend's going to continue. From August to November, each one of those months, Pat, 4.2, 4.3, 4.4, 4.5. It's 4+ million each month, people leaving. Okay. A lot of it, as is true at any time in history, people leave leaders, not companies.
Yes.
And a lot of what's going on is we just have, and you spend your entire professional career on this, just have a lot of horrible leaders who, they just don't know how to serve and love people. And people are going, I'm tired of being treated this way. I'm out.
Right. Yeah. And if the leader is doing it, you know, there's two kinds of leadership. You lead for the people you're leading, or you lead for yourself.
That's right.
And the second one isn't really leadership at all. And so if you're working for a leader who's all about themselves and they're not really interested in serving the people that they manage and lead, then you got a problem. Now, I do want to say this to people, though. If you're in one of those situations, do something amazing and kindly tell the person that you're working for what you see. Because see, we often assume that everybody that we work for is leading the way they want to lead.
That's a great point.
And if you've ever been a leader, you know there's times when you're not leading the way you want to lead. You've got a lot of pressure and you're distracted or you're sliding into selfishness. So why not sit down with your leader and say, listen, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to condescend to you. I just want to let you know that I want to share something that I think might be helpful for you. Others have done it for me. I think you could do better. Okay, 3 out of 10 times that works.
Yeah.
And that person is like, you're my best friend. You just changed my life.
That's right.
Okay, the other 7 times, it doesn't. Now you know it, and you can leave with a really clean conscience.
But that's the key.
We miss sometimes that opportunity to be a hero to our manager. We don't think about ministering upward.
Yeah.
Because they need somebody to tell them, and most managers don't get that. They have employees that are just thinking about it and telling them good things when they don't mean it. So give it a shot.
In the 3 out of 10 times, and I agree with you, that it could work, give a quick, really specific manual. It's like you're coaching our audience right now, right before they go in to talk to their leader. You've caught them outside the door. What posture? And I'm not talking about just physical.
No.
Let's coach them up. They're about ready to walk in, and you're going, wait. Here's how you need to deliver this news. What would you say?
And remember, they may be your manager, but they're just an older kid like everybody else. They're just human. And so what I used to do, my career trajectory in my early years, I think, was predicated on me being the guy that people would shove in the CEO's office and say, you tell him. And they would.
You were the deliverer.
Yeah, and I didn't even work for the CEO some of the time, and his own direct reports would say, why don't you go tell him? And I go, okay. So I'd go and I'd say, hey, Mark, here's the deal. I'm not telling you I could do your job better than you. You got a lot of pressure here, and this is hard, I know. But I think I have something that might help you. If it doesn't, that's fine. But here's what I see, and I think this would be better for you and for the organization. So I phrase it that way, And in other words, if you can be humble, I talk about it, give them the kind truth.
Yeah.
What we do too often is we give them kindness where we say, oh, you're the greatest boss, but it's not true.
Right.
And that's brown nosers. They're not worth that. And then there's people that go in and say, I'm finally going to go in and talk to the boss and tell him what an a-hole he is.
Right.
Well, that doesn't work either.
Yeah.
Go in there and say, I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm here to help you. I promise you that. I'm going to take this risk because I think it would be good for you. But I don't want you to think I'm coming at this from a position of saying your job is easy. Suddenly people are like, okay, I'll listen to this.
Yeah.
And that's why I like what you said. 3 out of 10 times, it could work.
It could.
Doesn't always.
That's right.
But man, when it does, and it has for me in my career before I started my own company, and my bosses would go, well, you're the most valuable thing I have because you tell me the truth. What else you got for me?
That's it.
Suddenly the organization is changing. Your relationship is changing. Your job satisfaction is changing. So give that a shot. Now, never have I heard people say, I can't believe you just said that to me. You're fired, or I'm going to. If you do it with kindness, people at the best, they're going to ignore you.
Yeah, that's true. Because they're still unhealthy, but they're not going to freak out because you didn't put them under attack.
Right.
And I think that posture is really great. We're kind of coming into this, kind of going, hey, here's something I see, suggestion. I couldn't do what you're doing, but here's what I see. I love that.
Right.
Really takes the elephant out of the room. Okay, a little bit of fun here. Do you have, from your working, they asked me, they said, okay, Ken, you and Pat, do you have a horrible boss story from your own work life? Do you have one?
Oh, yeah.
Let's lay it out here. What was it? Who was it?
Well, you know, when I first got hired out of college, I went to work for a very prestigious management consulting firm. And I had the job that was supposed to be the best job in America that year. They literally wrote an article.
Really?
And the company I was working for, they said, if you can get this job, you have the best job in America. And I got it. And everybody's like, congratulations. Well, as it turned out, it wasn't a good fit for my skill set. I didn't know that at the time. But more importantly, the management of people was not it was a management consulting firm that had no management at all. Good management.
Right.
So the guy that I reported to, the first time I went to see a client, I was talking about what I should do. He said, no, you should just shut up and carry the bat. You're like my monkey.
Wow.
And he told me that.
Literally said.
Yeah. And he had no interest in my development. It was like, all you're going to do is whatever I tell you to do. Now, granted, maybe that was my role was just to observe, but the way he said it to me, and the problem was
dehumanized you.
Yeah, that was the culture of the entire organization. It was like whoever's ahead of you, above you on the food chain, they own you.
Wow.
And at the end of the day, they discharged half the employees. Like, okay, you've been here 2 years, we burned you out, leave, and you'll take a few years to get your confidence back. It was horrible.
Horrible.
But it started at the top.
And it's amazing that you were able to bounce away from that. Some people won't. Some people will take that and go, what? Because you have all this romanticized kind of feelings about work. You get this opportunity to talk to a leader and he treats you like that. Literally dehumanized you. Called you an animal name.
Right. And, wow. and you know, the funny thing is, there are people at the highest levels of organizations do that and the highest that don't.
Yeah.
And it really does come down to, do they see their role as like, do I have to love on this person? Is this am I stewarding this opportunity? Is authority, gosh, what quote did I hear the other day? You can't tell the measure of a man until you see what he does with power.
Oh yeah. Well, it reveals everything.
I literally heard that on the radio yesterday and I thought,
it's fantastic. I got to tell you.
Plato said that.
Yeah. They asked me to put one. I was trying to think through it. I haven't had many really bad experiences, but I remember I worked on a congressional race one time. This is in my 20s.
Wow.
So this is like, I'm charging hell with a water pistol. I'm 20 years old, fighting for conservative values. And my campaign manager was a guy I'd come in with this new idea all the time. Hey, what about this? What about this? He was like, listen, man, we're going to get beat by 25 points. Do whatever you want to do. He literally was Eeyore. Like, I was like, we're fighting for ideals. We're trying to take on, this is a fight, man. And he's like, wore sock feet, took his shoes off, walked around, and he literally was the most sullen, discouraging force of leadership I'd ever seen in my life. So just absolutely abysmal. Hey, we got to move on quickly. For those of you on radio and SiriusXM, you need to be moving over to YouTube. Because this is where we're going to have a fun bonus segment with Pat. For the rest, for those of you that are on YouTube, stay with us. But I want everybody to know Pat's new book coming out this summer, Working Genius. Stay tuned for it. Sign up for it now. It's going to be great. Hey, I got to get out of here. Remember, you matter and you have what it takes. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. You can listen to myself, Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, or the rest of the Ramsey Network anywhere with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. Catch all of our full shows, browse by topic, or send clips to your friends. Head to the App Store and download the Ramsey Network app today.